It is time now that we might be able to hear the word of God from our brother. Hey. You know, I have always a very soft spot in my heart for my brother Hubert. I know his zeal for the Lord comes from the heart, and I know that he has a great love for each one that he looks out upon, that he might share the gospel with and to help them to come to an understanding of the gospel. And I hope and pray that you've come, that you might be able to hear those words and to be able to apply them according to the things that are in your own life. So I'm going to give to you now our brother Hubert Yates.
Thank you, Gordon. You know, as I sit here last Sunday out there, and I heard Joel talk on young people and the need to teach and the need to direct their lives, and how important, like when Uncle Orrin Kavanagh said, you know, that the young people is the next generation of the Church of Christ. How important that is that we remember that. As I sit there, he had a lot of scriptures, and as I sat there, I thought about a scripture in the Book of Mormon that says that part of the sins of the children was going to fall upon the parents because they had not sufficiently taught them. And how important that is that we realize the responsibility as parents to teach our children and to correct them. Because like Joel said, if they don't have to mind you, they're not going to mind the law of God, and they're not going to mind the Lord. And so how important it is for us to see to it that they're taught the gospel of Christ, and they're taught that there is an authority. Because God is an authority. He's an authority over the spiritual lives of the children of men. And he makes a decision of what's going to happen to us in the end. And so we have to realize that wherever we go, and as long as we're here and the time after this death, we're still under the authority of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And how important it is that we realize that. And you know, I look through the Holy Scriptures, and I see where the power of Satan drew the people away from the Lord continually and caused them to walk in a different path and caused them to rebel against God. And sometimes it wasn't because they wasn't taught. I know that, and I know there's others in this room, that after children reach an age of accountability, and after they reach the age, they're no longer under the wings of the parents, the only thing you can do is pray for them and try to talk to them. And they have to make a decision. But we have to make a decision prior to that time. We have to make a decision, and when it comes time for them to make that decision, that they have been completely instructed in the words of the Lord, that they would be directed by the words of the Lord, and that they would have a balance there to come against Satan, and they would have a balance in their life to know the good from wrong, because they had been taught those things. And I want to read a scripture in the Book of Mormon on page 221. This is the second chapter of Mosiah. I'm going to start in the 25th verse. This is King Benjamin speaking. He says, "And ye will not suffer your children that they should go hungry or naked." And that's a natural thing. You know, you see on TV and on the news where children are starved to death. You see it as you go places where they lack in the food. They lack in the raiment of life that we have to have for this physical body. He says, "Neither will they suffer that they transgress the laws of God. Now, when they're disobedient, when they're rebellious, they're transgressing the law of God. They're transgressing the law of God. And fight and quarrel one with another. Do we fight and quarrel one with another? Do our children fight and quarrel one with another? And serve the devil. When we're fighting and quarreling one with another, we're serving the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all unrighteousness. You know, sometimes we don't think about that enemy of all unrighteousness being able to influence us or to direct us. But if we yield to him, he will influence us and he will direct us, and he will do just like the scripture says, that he will gently lead you down until we're chained and bound. And how important that is, that we pull back and we break that power before we get to the point that we no longer want to strive against him, to challenge him, to keep him out of our life, and to have him know that we have chosen to follow the Lord, the Son of God, and to walk after him. How important that is. Because we've got to break that power that we might be able to walk with God. And if we're not instructed that we have to be obedient, isn't all the scriptures telling us that we must be obedient to the law of God? Isn't all the scriptures telling us that we must walk righteously and justly before him? All the scriptures tells us that he has a way, a specific way, that we must walk. And without it, if we take another trail, if we go a different direction, that we don't reach the goal that we say we want, and that's eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ. How important it is that we realize that we have to have that walk with Christ. And when we're walking, if we're rebelling against him, if we're resisting him and not allowing him to direct our lives and to give us the understanding and the direction that's so important, we find then that we're walking in a different path, because he walks in one path, and that's a straight path. He doesn't walk in crooked paths. I'm going to go through some of that today. Continuing to in the 27th verse, he says, "But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness." How do you teach somebody to walk in the ways of truth if you don't know it? Or if you just let them just go like a wild bird or wild game or a wild individual and just do as they please and just run, and they're under no subjection at all. They're not under any power or any authority. That's why God has parents. And parents are the ones that are responsible for the authority over the children and to teach them. To teach them the way that they're to walk. To teach them to be respective to people. And if they're not going to respect people, if they're not going to respect elders, they're not going to respect their Son of God. They're not going to respect the Heavenly Father. They have to learn that wherever they're at, where they have a business of their own, where they're working for somebody, where they're in the military, whatever they are, they have to know that they're going to be under a law all their life. They're going to be under the law. And it's important that we understand that there's no time in your life that you're not under the law of God. We're responsible for that. We can make all kinds of excuses that we want to make, but we are under the law of God. And especially when we reach the position that we understand right from wrong, when we can understand good and evil, when we can understand light and darkness, when we can understand those things that pertains to our soul's welfare. Now, when you go into the scriptures, there's a lot of scripture that talks about walking or walk. But there's some that speak of the walk that's a spiritual walk and not a physical. That it's a spiritual walk with God. That it's a spiritual walk with us to be able to follow after the Lord and to walk with Him. And that's the walk I want to talk about today. And I'm going to be using scriptures, and I know the scriptures that I use aren't new to you. And they're not new to me. But it's essential that we obey them. As old as they are over the generations of time, it's the Father speaking to His children here on earth. He's speaking to you and I. He's endeavoring to teach us. He's endeavoring to teach us obedience. He's endeavoring to teach us to obey His holy law. That's what He's trying to do, so that we can come and live with Him. And that's why we're here. That's the most important thing in our life, is the walk that we choose, whether it will be with God, with His Son, or whether it's going to be in the carnal mind of man, and the things that we want to do, and we put our pleasures before Him, or that we stop our ears so we don't hear. It's important that we open up our ears and listen to the voice of the Lord. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. That's a very important scripture, that you teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Because as we look at this old world today, wherever you turn, whether it's newspapers, whether it's the news on TV, whether you're downtown, wherever you're at, it's nothing but hate. It's nothing but strife. It's nothing but the fulfillment of the prophecies that has been brought forth in the period of time that we live in. We're seeing the development and some of those things that He talks about that He says will be like and never be before again. And we're coming into that. That's one of the reasons why we so definitely need to establish our walk and establish who we're going to walk with, to choose whose hand we're going to hold and yield to and be obedient to, whether it's going to be the will and the whims and the things of the world, or whether it's going to be that of the one that created the worlds, knowing that He holds it in the hollow of His holy hand. And know that He will have the last word at the judgment day to what's going to happen to you, what's going to happen to me. He's going to make that decision. And so it's important that we realize, when you read the scriptures, it tells you, I think Ken is one of them that used it off and on, and I've heard it several times, about the watchman, about your ministry. That your ministry is responsible for instructing you in the ways of the Lord. And if He finds you walking opposite of that, He should tell you. And your scriptures tells you, that watchman doesn't tell you, He says your sins are upon your blood, upon His shoulders. Because He was a watchman. Just like you are a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, that you're responsible for that. But if you tell them and they tell you, go fly a kite, I'm not going to have anything to do with it, then their blood isn't upon your shoulders. If you correct your children, if you teach them properly, if you teach them to walk in the truth, then their blood is not upon your shoulders. But you can teach children to steal. You can teach them to do all kinds of evil things. Or you can teach them to do righteous things. You can teach them to know the Son of God. You can teach them to utilize the avenue of prayer, to develop their faith. We can teach them to know the Scriptures and know the do's and don'ts of life that He requires of us and how important that is. That is our responsibility as parents. That's our responsibility, is to teach them of those things that would save their soul, those things that would give them a strength to say, no, I'm not supposed to do that. That's the truth. So today I'm going to take some scriptures out concerning the walk with the Lord. And I'm going to start there in a common scripture in the 7th chapter of Matthew's, and I'm going to read the 13th verse and the 14th verse. And this is read constantly and often. And, you know, it's important that we understand. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, when you stop and you think about people that has embraced the gospel of Christ and then turn away from it, it breaks your heart. Because they knew, they chose, they made the choice to not listen to the words of God. They made the choice to go their own way. And you know, it's important. That straight means a narrow, or a narrow pathway, or those things. You know, the scriptures are full of those things that tells us that we go that way. I want to go over to the second book of Nephi on page 165 in your Book of Mormon. And there I want to read the 5th maybe through the 18th verses. And this is Nephi, and he was telling them, he was visiting with the Lord, and this is some of his last words as he was visiting, and he says, and the things which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them, for it persuadeth them to do good. It maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth men to believe in him and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. This brother is writing this. He said he's writing it in his weakness, but God would make it strong. And indeed he has, because that's it. And it speaketh harsh against sin, according to plainness of the truth. Wherefore, no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. That you wouldn't be perturbed at the Holy Scripture unless you got the wrong thoughts in your minds. Unless you don't want to believe it. Unless you think that your thoughts are better than his. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jews. I say Jew because I mean from them whence I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope, except they be reconciled to Christ and enter in the narrow gate and walk in the straight path. That's a requirement. This is our Lord speaking to us. He's, yes, this brother's rightness. But where did he receive such words? Where did he receive such an edification for us? That we had to be reconciled to Christ. And if we're reconciled to Christ, then we obey what he has to say. We obey what he has to say. And enter into the narrow gate and walk, he says, in the straight path which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jews, and all the ends of the earth, hearken unto these words and believe in Christ. And if you believe not in these words, believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye will believe in these words, for they are the words of Christ. And he hath given them unto me, and they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye, for Christ will show unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar, and ye shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness. I have prayed the Father in the name of Christ, that many of us, if not all, may be saved in his kingdom at the great and the last day. And now, my beloved brethren, all they which are in the house of Israel and all the ends of the earth, I speak unto you as the voice of one crying from the dust, farewell until a great day shall come. And you will, and you that will not partake of the goodness of God and respect the words of the Jews, and also my words and the words which shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the Lamb of God, behold, I bid you an everlasting farewell, for these words shall condemn you at the last day. For what I seal on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar. For thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. You know, he says, and I must obey. You know, sometimes it's hard when you want to talk to somebody or visit with somebody. It's hard because you love them and you're close to them and you don't want to hurt their feelings and you don't want to do this or that, but it's important that we speak the truth. It's important if we see someone floundering and ready to drown that we stretch forth our hand and reach out to them to try to help them, to try to direct them, to get them where they would be and have their head above the water of the evil of the world today and of the carnal mind and the direction of those things, that they might be able to breathe the oxygen, the fresh air of Jesus Christ our Lord, that they might live in him and walk in him. And how important that is. I want to go over now to page 335 in the Book of Mormon. And there in 335, I want to read 33 through 38. Oh, where am I at here? I want to go to 323, excuse me. I want to start in the 17th verse. But behold, the Spirit hath said this much unto me, saying, cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths which are straight. Now this is Alma, and he's talking to the people of Gideon that had pulled away. And he was commanded to tell them to repent and to repent and to walk, it says, in his paths which are straight. The Lord's paths are straight. They're not something that just wanders all over and this is okay. Well, maybe that's fine. Or it's not something that wanders all over, that the Lord's path is straight. And behold, he shall... And behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. But I want to bring out the fact that that path is straight, and it goes in a way that we have to understand that that path is straight. And now I want to read the 33rd verse there of the same chapter. He says, for I perceive that ye are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that ye are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his paths straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he can not walk in crooked paths. If we're looking for a different direction, or a different path, rather than the one that Christ has taught and walked, we better think a minute, because he does not walk in crooked paths. He is there for us. He says, neither doth he vary from that which he hath said, neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore, his course is one eternal round. And you know how important that is, that we realize that his course is one eternal round. Therefore, I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to the sense of your duty to God, that ye may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And you know, now I want us to look at something for a minute. And I want to ask you a question, and you can answer it for yourself. Did you ever think that it was your duty, my duty, to God? You know, he's the one. Duty means to owe. Duty means that you owe something, that you're indebted. And indeed, we're indebted to God. We're indebted to him. He sent his only begotten Son to die for us, to live for us, to teach us. Did we ever realize how indebted we are to him? That it's our duty as children of God, to be obedient unto His holy law, that it's not just a passerby, or it's not just a whim or a desire or something, maybe everything, but it's our duty to be obedient to God. That's what we're here for. It's our duty to be obedient to Him. We owe Him. We owe Him the opportunity to be able to come and to live with Him. We owe Him that in His love for His Son, nevertheless, He sent Him to lay down His life for you and I, for all mankind. That is a duty. That is something that we owe. We owe that to our God. We owe that to be obedient, to obey. That's our duty. That's what we're here for. That's our work, is to walk righteously. Our work is to walk in a way that we bear a light, that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's our duty. That's our work. We're responsible for that. That's what it's about. How do we do that if we don't do the things that He has commanded, if we don't correct our children, if we don't teach them the way of the Lord, if we don't teach them to respect, if you don't teach them respect the teachings of God, what good is it? How important it is. And how important it is for you and I to teach ourselves, to recognize the duty and be righteous and walk righteously before our Father, which is in heaven. You know, we think, you know, sometimes we have a lot of thoughts in our minds, and you know, we think, well, you know, we can just go along and everything will be fine. You know, we really can't, because He has, I'm not saying that we know all things in the Holy Scripture, and we don't know all things that's going to happen and take place, and the date that they're going to happen and take place. But the things that is essential for our soul's welfare are plain and pure. And that is to understand our duty to God, to be obedient to Him. That's something that we have to understand. And you know, all through the Scriptures, God has corrected and chastised, as we heard preached over the podium, and chastised those whom He loves. And you know, we have to chastise our children if we love them. If we allow them to do whatever they want to do and tell you where you can go and sit down and get out of the way and I'm going to this and that and back mouth you and everything, then you're not loving them like you're supposed to love them, because you're supposed to teach them the Word of God. And you're supposed to teach them to be respectful. And if you aren't teaching them those things, we're falling short. If the ministry that stands in these podiums and throughout the Church of Christ aren't teaching the thing that's essential for your soul's welfare, they're falling short. They're falling short to what God would have them to do, to be teachers and to instruct us in the ways of the Lord so that we would know how to walk therein. That's important. That is the most important thing of our life. I want to switch over now. I want to go over to Helium. I guess I'll go to Helium first. I want to go to 595 in the book of Helium. And I want to read the 93rd verse. And I would that ye should behold that the more part of them are in the path of their duty, and they do walk circumspectly before God, and they do observe to keep His commandments and His statutes and his judgments according to the law of Moses. Now, we know that this is in the Old Testament, but they were to do those things that God had given them. At that time, they were under the law of Moses. And you know, it's important that we realize, it says, the path of their duty. Did we think about that word, duty? The path of their duty, they were walking in the path of their duty. That was required of them, of what they were to do, that they were walking in that path. He wants us to walk in that path of duty. He wants us to walk in that way. I want to go now to Ephesians, the 4th chapter of Ephesians. I want to read the 17th and the 18th verses. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your minds, of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, we've got to watch our heart. Take notice that we can walk opposite of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is telling them, look out. Because that's the blindness of your heart. Your heart isn't where it should be. It's not there. And it's supposed to be on the Lord. It's supposed to be there that where it's supposed to support and strengthen. I want to read in Romans now 15. Romans 13. First, I want to go to Romans 13. And I want to read the 12th through the 13th verses. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, and not in chamberlain or wantonness, not in strife or envy. He says, don't walk that way. That's a path that's not the path of Christ. His path is straight. This path is crooked. And we're not to walk in those things. That we have to watch out what we're doing. We have to be careful. We're on the path. We have to look and see. And it's important that we recognize that path is that we have to be honest. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians. And there in 1 Corinthians, I want to go to the 3rd chapter. And the 3rd verse. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? We're not to be that. We're not to walk in that way. That's not the walk that's required of us by the Lord, those things. That we're to walk with the Lord. And if we walk with the Lord, we're gentle and kind and loving. We're not what we say that others are, that we walk that way and that we walk as men when we do that. I want to go to the 2 Corinthians. And I want to go there in the 4th chapter. And I want to read the 23rd verse. Let me see here. I want to read 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I want to read the third verse. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now let's jump up to the second verse. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That we have to be careful of our walk. We are choosing each day how we walk, when we're talking to one another, when you're talking to people at work, when you're talking to people at school, or wherever you're at. We're choosing the path that we're walking. We're making that choice. We've got to make the choice that we walk the path of Christ. We have to make that choice, that that's where our walk is going to be, is with the Lord. And there's good walks that we can talk about, and there are bad walks. I want to go over in the Book of Mormon. I want to go over on page 239. And there on page 239, I want to read probably the first and second verses there. And it came to pass that Zenith conferred the kingdom upon Noah, one of his sons. Therefore Noah began to reign in his stead, and he did not walk in the ways of his father. And those of us that read the Book of Mormon, we know that he was an evil man. We know that Noah was an evil man. For behold, he did not keep the commandments of God, but he did walk after the desires of his own heart. That's where we have a danger point, that we walk after the desire of our own heart. We have to be careful that we walk after the desire of God's will, not our own heart. Not what we think, because he has instructed us what is right and what is wrong. It's not what you and I think. It's what God thinks that's right. We might think, well, that don't seem like it's too bad to me. But if the Lord says that's a no-no, that's what he means. It is bad. It's bad for a spiritual walk if we're not obeying his holy law. And that we don't walk after our own thoughts and our own desires, our own direction. But that we realize that God has a direction. And it points to eternal life with God the Father. It's a straight path. It's unalterable. It doesn't change. It continues to go. Just like my time. And I haven't even got started. I want us to go to page 48 in your Book of Mormon. And there I want to read the fifth verse. And it came to pass that they did humble themselves before the Lord, inasmuch that I had joy and great hopes of them, that they would walk in the paths of righteousness. Amen. He had a hope that they would walk in the paths of righteousness. That's the only way, brothers and sisters. There is no other way. That's just like the scripture says, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. And how true that is. And there's no other way other than walking in righteousness. Keeping the commandments of God, obeying him, recognizing our duty. Recognizing our duty to God. Recognizing that we are to yield to him and be obedient unto him. That's what that represents. I want to go to Colossians. The second chapter. of Colossians. And I want to read the 6th through the 9th. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now most of us that come here today say that we've been baptized, we've repented, that we've taken upon our name, the name of Christ, that we have put Him on. And you know the brother says, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And this world is full of ungodly philosophy and deceit. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body, that we should walk with Christ. The world is full of ungodly philosophy, the rudiments of men, the desires and the understanding of men. And oh yes, they'll persuade, some of them are great orators, and they can tell you all kinds of stuff and try to build a thing up and tell you how neat it is and everything else and how it's okay because everybody else does it and all these things. That's all a lie. Unless they're teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, unless they're teaching you to walk in righteousness, it's a lie. It's something that would destroy our souls. It's something that we can't depend upon at all. I'm just going to give you some thoughts here, and I'm going to give you some scriptures because my time is gone, and I want you to have these scriptures. I want you to go home and look them up. I wanted to go to Romans 6:4, and in Romans 6:4 it says, "Walk in the newness of life," and that's telling us to walk in Christ. He tells us to walk. Well, I'm going to read that one. Romans 6:4. He tells us that, like in the third verse there, he says, "Know ye not, so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ." We're baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism in death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by glory, by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life, that we should walk in that newness of life, that we should put on. We've been baptized with Him. We've put on Christ, like the Holy Scripture says. And we have the opportunity, we have the duty to walk in the newness of life. We owe it to Him. That's something that we owe, that duty, is to walk in the newness of life, to walk in that direction, to walk in that way. He tells us that in Romans 8:4-10, he says, walk not after the flesh. That we don't walk according to the carnal mind of man. He says, walk not after the flesh. That we not to follow. You're not to follow me. I'm not to follow you. He tells us not to depend on the arm of the flesh. But we're to follow the instructions of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we're to follow. That's our walk. That's what's straight. That's what is unalterable. That's what you and I know will be the same yesterday, today, and forever, is that walk with Christ, the path that He's laid before us. That the markers along the path are the very same. Obedience, faith, repentance, baptism, love, compassion, mercy. It's the same. Yeah, the markers of that straight path are the same things that is important for you and I to apply to our life. It's not something that you go along and all of a sudden you see a monument there that's supposed to show you where that path goes, and it says hate, discontent, ungodly thoughts, being a busybody, spreading tales, not loving your brothers and sisters, to be obedient to those things. That's not part of the road sign. That's not part of that we would see to follow that God and the Son of God that is unalterable, that has a straight line, a straight path right there. That's what he's returned to. The second chapter, Corinthians, the fifth chapter and the seventh verse, says, walk by faith. We believe. You believe in the promises of Christ. We believe in the things that he has taught us. We believe in the things that he says, that if we do this, that this is what's going to happen. And we believe that he has warned us of the pitfalls of life. To watch out for the evil one, the Satan, the desire that he has to devour our souls. That he has warned us of those things. Why? Because he's a parent, a beautiful parent, that worries about his children. So he has warned us of the pitfalls of life. He has warned us of those things that we have to look out for. He has warned us of the things, if we're not careful, that would slip into our thoughts and our minds or give us to do something that we have no business doing. He has warned us of those. He said, don't follow that trail. See that marker there? That marker wasn't laid there by me. That was laid there by the enemy of the souls of the children of men. That we walk not in that path, but we take the straight and narrow. That we walk in that unalterable path of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:10, walk in good works. Colossians 1:10, walk worthy of the Lord. Wow, what a responsibility, huh? What a duty. To walk worthy of the Lord, to walk in a way that He would be pleased with us and would smile upon us and would be happy. That He could say, look at there, I have a child below that believes in me. Believes in me to the point that they're being obedient to my commandments. How beautiful that is. How important that is. Ephesians 5:1-2, it says, walk in love. 2 John 1:4-11, says, truth and love, that we should walk in truth and love. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom. Where is the wisdom of the world? Doesn't the Scriptures tell us it's foolishness of the Lord? But that we have to walk in the Lord if we're going to be wise. If we're wise, it's because we have chosen to walk with the Lord and have chosen to put our feet on that straight and narrow and to endure to the end. Then we become wise. Second Nephi, third chapter. I think I might read that one. Page 93. He says, I'm going to read the 53rd verse. He said, will thou make me, now this is Nephi, will thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? He's saying, help me that if I see sin, that I'll just shake. You know, the scriptures that Brother Jay preached here not too long ago was saying that we have a right to hate iniquity. And how true it is. We have a right to shake at the very appearance of evil. We have a right to do those things. That's a God-given right. That's a duty. That's what we owe. We owe Him our life. We owe it to Him. That's our duty, is to shake at the very appearance of sin and of evil. That's our duty, to walk in the straight and narrow. I'm going to read one more scripture in closing. But my time is going and I'm going to have to do something. I want to go to the 19th chapter of Alma, page 451. And I'm going to read... I'm going to read one verse. 71. He says, now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore, the way is prepared. The way of eternal life for us is prepared. And whosoever will, he's talking to you and I, if we will, whosoever will, may walk therein and be saved. That's what we want. That it's unalterable. It has been prepared for us by a loving parent. It has been prepared for us. And if we will, if we choose to obey, if we choose the duty that is required of us, we may walk therein and be saved. My prayer is that each of us will walk therein and choose and recognize we have a duty to God, to be obedient unto His holy law, to set an example that will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Thank you.